Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive minute by minute into the cinematic adaptations of Frank Herbert's Dune. I got it right today, John.
You did.
I did. I got it right. I am Zach.
And I'm John.
Today we are talking about minutes 44 through 45 on the Dune movie. Fucked it up there.
On the Dune Minute Movie Podcast. On the Dune Minute Podcast. There you go.
Regardless of what it's called, we're here to talk about
two nerds talking about Dune.
We're here to talk about this minute. This minute starts with Paul learning some math, and then roughly 60 seconds later, it ends with Paul learning some geography.
Paul learns how to count today.
Yes, he does. All right, man. Well, let's dive into it. So the scene opens up in the continuation of the conversation that Paul is having with the gardener.
Yep.
And the gardener is explaining that the Fremen pilgrim do not care about heat stroke.
Nope.
Which I wish I had that lack of fear, because I fear a heat stroke every time I'm outside.
I don't know if I've ever had heat stroke before. I feel like I've come real close to it.
I've gotten dizzy.
I've gotten like throw up kind of feeling because I was out in the heat for too long. It was actually the last time you helped me move.
Ah, there you go. That's fun. We used to have some very hot summers in marching band out in the July heat of in the Georgia July heat.
Yep.
Although I can't complain too much. I was in the front ensemble. I did marimba and auxiliary percussion work.
Yeah, you weren't carrying a giant bass drum,
so
or you weren't a wind player having
right. So I cannot actually complain about that too much, but I was at least out there in the sun.
I'm sure some kids passed out.
I don't remember if we ever had someone do it. I'm sure it happened, but
bound to.
Yeah.
But we're not here to talk about band.
No,
we're talking about some numbers today.
Talking about heat strokes. So after the gardener says the thing about Fremen do not care about heat strokes, Paul quickly changes the subject to talk about the date palms.
Yep.
And the gardener explains to him that these are not native trees, that they would die without him, mm-hmm. and that each tree uses the water of 5 people per day.
20 palm trees.
Yep. Well, sorry. Each piece of grass uses the...
no. Each... Shut up.
Each date palm uses the water of 5 people per day. And there's 20 palms. That means 100 lives a day.
Paul's first instinct is to remove them and save the water, which I guess means that Paul, you know, is at least thinking of, you know, other people's lives and stuff instead of just saying, oh, cool.
Well, he's not, when we've made it abundantly clear how we feel about Atreides and that they are, in the grand scheme of things, not great people. But in the microcosm that they exist in,
they're still the quote-unquote good guys.
Yeah, the quote-unquote good guys. Exactly. So Paul showing empathy and sympathy for the folks is in line with his character, very much in line with his character.
But as a reminder, as a whole, the Atreides are not good people. I feel like I need to reiterate that.
I think we've said it enough.
Yeah. Paul says, should we remove them, save the water? And the gardener immediately, no. These are sacred. Old dream.
Oh, what do you think that means?
What is this old dream? I think it's the idea that one day Arrakis will become a garden world again.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is what they're referring to. There's this idea and concept within the Dune universe of the dream of a green Arrakis.
Yeah.
I'll talk much more about this when we're introduced to characters further down the line. This is our first introduction to what is the dream of a green Arrakis, an old dream, where the planet would be, terraformed essentially. And, you know, will support life and, you know, plant life and other forms of, you know, water.
It won't be the hellhole that it is
currently. Right. Right. So, this is the first mention that we get of that, this old dream. And I understand how a date palm like this would be the symbol of that dream, mm-hmm. And that it is in the governor's palace, makes sense. So yeah, it's a cool reference to an overarching, thing that we don't really even see. I mean, we won't see payoff. No spoilers. We won't see payoff
for here. Thousands of years.
Yeah. For a long, long time. But, we do get more evidence of it in the second movie.
Yeah.
A lot more evidence of it.
Yeah. So it's safe to say that this is what the pilgrims are here for. The symbol of the old dream, what they're praying, not necessarily to, but what is causing them to pray in this location.
Yeah. It's the iconography of this thing that they are hoping happens.
Yeah. I would like to point out one thing. Going all the way back to the scene where Paul has his hand in the box in the library in the Atreides house, we do see a date palm on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. Safe to assume that these are the same palms that we see from Paul's vision. I don't know how many other palms we're going to encounter in the story. Probably none. So yeah, I think it's a very, very safe assumption.
After this moment, Paul just kind of is left looking at the date palm, and then we get a hard cut to the inside of the palace.
Yeah, and this beautiful relief.
I can't tell if it's made out of stone or iron or copper or
something. I think stone. I took it as stone.
But it's a massive mural of our old grandfather of the desert himself, Shai Hulud.
Yep.
This is actually the first time that we see any representation of Shai Hulud in the movie.
Oh, cool.
We hear him talked about, but we do not see him. And it is just, it's a massive relief or mural or whatever you want to talk about, because we see Paul standing next to it, and Paul at his full height, bearing in mind Timothy Chalamet is like, I think 6'1" or 6'2" or maybe even taller than that. He's like barely half as tall as this relief is. It's massive.
Huge.
So
now here's a question for you.
Yes.
I think we as movie viewers are led to believe that this is the palace that the Harkonnens occupied while they were on Arrakis.
Yep.
This seems so out of place when you consider the Harkonnen aesthetic. Why would they have this kind of mural here? Why would they have this relief? They are so much more like brutal and industrious. If I don't think they commissioned it, I think it outdates even them, because they were not the first people to have like fiefdom over Arrakis.
Well, no, because it was said earlier that they had control of Arrakis for like 80 years or something like that.
Yeah.
But we had talked about how various houses, including, I think, previous Atreides, had fiefdom over Arrakis.
I don't think over Arrakis. The previous Atreides were like emperors and whatnot.
Oh, okay. I thought previous Atreides had fiefdom over Arrakis.
I'm pretty sure it's somewhere in the encyclopedia or on the wiki where it talks about the previous inhabitants previous like ruling family of Arrakis.
Yeah.
I don't know who it would be. I don't know where this relief came from. I just wanted to point out, I definitely don't think it was something left there from the Harkonnens.
No.
I don't think it was something that the Atreides, I mean, obviously they didn't bring it with them or like made in the day that they've been there. So it's probably very
It'd be old. Really impressive if they made this and weathered it,
yeah,
and aged it that much in a single day.
So all that to say, it is a very old, old wall piece of art.
We then hear Paul listening to his favorite podcast again.
Dune Minute podcast.
Not the Dune Minute. It's the his little
holotape, I think is what they're called.
I would just call it like a tourist guide to Arrakis.
Right.
mentioning the largest and most dangerous organism on Arrakis is the sandworm, capable of reaching up to 400 meters in length.
400 that meters.
That is a thick worm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy long. For us, not on the metric system, that is what, 1,200 feet?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Jeez. That's a long.
I think a meter and a yard are off by like a couple centimeters. So
yeah.
400 yards, 1,200 feet. It's a long ass worm.
Yeah. It's crazy.
To avoid making rhythmic noises, which attract the sandworms, the Fremen use.
That's it.
The end of the minute.
We don't get it. We don't get the rest of what they use. So we'll have to be in suspense all weekend.
Now, before we cut, though, one thing I would like to point out, because we do see this still within the bounds of this 44th to 45th minute, is a cut from Paul looking at this massive mural of Shai Hulud, which does, for a moment, have a highlight on the mouth of Shai Hulud.
Yeah.
We do see the teeth and everything, and almost what looks like a halo around the face of Shai Hulud.
Yeah, and that would make sense. I mean, clearly the Fremen worship this worm.
Yep. But then we get a hard cut to Paul sitting in a bedroom. Mm-hmm. He's finally taken that big jacket off, and he's got just like a white shirt on underneath with, in my opinion, the most out of place mural in this entire movie.
The fish.
A bunch of koi.
Yeah. This was taken from his room. We saw this, I believe, earlier, at least pieces of it, earlier from his room on Caladan.
Okay.
So this was something that they took from their previous home. It does, we'll see it more next week, I believe. So I'll try to do some research into it. But it does have a little bit more, like, not a vast significance, but it does have some significance to Paul.
Okay.
And to the story.
Okay, that's fair.
But yes. Yeah, it is fish.
So out of place. The first time I saw it, I was like,
reminds him of home.
Sure. Fair enough. But yeah, in this, that's where our minute ends. And we don't know what the Fremen are using. And we're going to have to wait until next week to figure it out.
Yep.
On the Dune Minute podcast.
That's right. If you'd like to get in touch with us before then to give us your guesses about what the Fremen use to get across the desert, although I'm pretty sure we all know at this point.
If you're listening to this and have never seen the movie before, what the hell are you doing?
But this is not the recommended way of watching this movie. Get in touch with us on email at duneminute@gmail.com. We are on Twitter at the Dune Minute. Nope. We're on Twitter at Dune Minute. And we are on Instagram at the Dune Minute.
There we go.
Yeah, I'll get it right one day. I'd love to chat and reach out, give us your thoughts, and tell us what you think.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, we will see you next week on the Dune Minute podcast.
Before we do that,
we gotta rate it.
We need a rating.
That's right.
For this week, I'm gonna give this week 7 Shai Huluds. You know why? We see Chris Knife.
See a Chris Knife.
We have cool. A moment of revelation.
Yeah.
We learn about the old dream of Arrakis.
That's true.
We learn about Shai Hulud. We see Shai Hulud.
A depiction.
In a mural form, but we see Shai Hulud in all of his glory. 7 Shai Hulud for me.
That's fair. You know, I'll join you there. That sounds cool.
There's a lot that happened this week.
Yeah.
A lot of very important things. It's a good week of Dune.
Great week of Dune. What week of Dune isn't?
Yeah, fair.
Okay, cool. Yeah, well, I'll join you right there at 7, man.
Alrighty.
Cool. Yeah, well, we'll see you next week on the Dune Minute Podcast.
See you guys later.
See you.